Hello, and welcome to All God's Creatures Pet Podcast. I'm Selena Sheffer, and today I have a very special co-host, Ashley Godwin. Thanks for joining me, Ashley.
Hello, Selena. Thanks for having me.
Ashley has been a guest on the show before, but this time I wanted her to co-host this show with me because we're going to talk about PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. We're basically going to wing this one because this will mostly be just our opinions on PETA. We don't have a PETA representative on the show today to present their case, but I'd like to offer an invitation to any PETA official to be a guest on this show. I would love to have you. Before we start, I'd like to mention that I am neither for nor against PETA. I believe that PETA has done many wonderful things for our animal companions. However, I also believe that PETA can be a bit extreme in their campaigns, beliefs, and tactics. Now, doing a show about PETA was Ashley's idea, because she got a little hot under the collar after a television show she watched. Ashley, tell us about what got you so upset.
Recently, it was right after Barbaro died, they had a lady from PETA on Larry King Live. Some of you may have seen her. And I am very open-minded. First, let me just say I totally support animal rescue, and my animals live much better than I do. However, I was very upset to hear her views on the horse racing industry because so much of it was very false. You know, I could go on and on with some of the things she said, but I have worked at horse farms on the racetrack, so I have been exposed to that world. And also, let me say, there are going to be bad apples in every industry, no matter if what it is. I mean, there's always going to be bad people. And I don't think it's fair to take the minute percentage of bad people in the horse industry or animal industry and then, you know, make it sound like we're all bad. And that's pretty much what she did that night on Larry King. And I have spoken to so many of my horse friends who saw her on Larry King and were boiling mad when the show was over. And they had Jack Hanna on there that night. And God bless him, boy, he fought it tooth and nail and told her that he had visited several thoroughbred farms unannounced, and he said, I have never seen a horse mistreated. And, you know, they live like kings. So, yeah, that's what kind of got me started on this subject. It just really upset me to see that someone would attack something without being educated on it, if that makes sense.
Right. I can understand that. I mean, and like we were talking before the show, you know, you said you lose money every year in your
horse business.
You
know, as a child growing up, I did not say I'm going to get into the horse industry because I want to be a billionaire. You know, in fact, growing up, my parents worked their fannies off, and we, you know, sacrificed tremendously so I could continue in this hobby, which thankfully I've made my living now, which my W-2 forms usually show a loss, you know. But I love what I do. I love the animals. I love the people I deal with. So it's I'm not in this to make money. I mean, it'd be nice if I could make money, but that's not why I'm in it. And I know that the racing industry is a, who knows how much money is involved in it. And there are people in the horse world that I'm sure are very wealthy. But my point is, your really good horse trainers are in it because they love horses.
Right. And you had said, too, that, you know, the horses do it because they love doing it.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, on the show we did before, I have worked and ridden hundreds of horses in my lifetime, and they're like people in the sense some have a great work ethic, others don't. Some love it, and they will do anything you ask them to do, no matter if you're into jumping or you ride Western or if you just trail ride. You can tell the ones that love it and the ones that don't. If they don't want to do it, they let you know. So these animals are not forced into anything. Personally, I show hunter jumpers. I can assure you there has never been a horse that I've ever touched that I made jump a jump.
Oh, no. I've seen them refuse jumps with you on their back.
Yeah, and what usually happens? Ashley gets a trip to the hospital. So, you know, I'm only 5'1" and about 110 pounds. There's no way I can make a 1,500-pound animal do, you know, take all 4 feet off the ground and clear an obstacle. they do it or they don't. And you would really just have to know horses and understand their magical personalities. In fact, I have a customer who I've been giving her daughter lessons now for about 4 years. And when I first met her, the mom knew nothing about horses. And I really educated her on all the horses here and would say, this is so-and-so, and this is her personality, and this is so-and-so. And several months later, she said, honestly, Ashley, I never knew that a horse had a personality. She said, I thought they were like cows, you know, that they just stare at you. Which brings me to another subject of, I have a cow, a little steer. And once you get to, I'm not trying to sound goofy, but once you get to know these animals, you find out that they all have such unique, fun personalities. And some aren't as fun. Some can be just mean and nasty, I guess. But my point is, it's, you know, they're all so different. And, you know, it really bothers me to think that there may be people out there who listen to these PETA reps that think, oh, goodness, those horses are being forced to gallop down that racetrack. And, you know, horses, what do they do out in the wild? They run. You know, and I'm not saying that if any cruelty is going on in the horse industry whatsoever, it needs to be stopped. However, now here's a big one that PETA really presses on their website and on Larry King. They went on and on about how these animals are drugged. You remember reading that?
Mm-hmm.
That the horses are drugged that are racing. Well, they are. I have shown horses for, 20 some odd years now. I assure you, they are very, and on the racetrack, they're very strict with it, but these horses are drug tested. I've been to many horse shows where the horses are drug tested, and there are very strict rules by organizations that govern these horse shows, the races, whatnot, that are protecting these animals. And I tell you what, if they literally urinate in a cup, if your horse comes back with one iota of anything illegal, you are in serious trouble. I mean, never mind that you just lost. You know, you don't get to win when you do that. So it is, you know, it's, in fact, at the national championships that I took one of my horses to, they did a lot of drug testing. Well, and I say nationals, regional championships, they did the same thing. But there's a man that works at the arena gate that lets you in, you know, when your event starts. And your horse is inspected for whip marks. If there are any whip marks on your horse, you're disqualified. You know, so there's a lot that goes on to protect these guys. And like I said, if there is anything nasty going on, boy, I want to be the first one to know about it. And but I don't think horse people should be just generally looked at as we're mean, nasty monsters making these poor babies do this.
Well, I look at PETA like I look at other animal organizations, like animal control. There's a good side to animal control. There's a bad side to animal control. The good side is we have to have animal control out there to rescue these animals from bad situations. You know, being starved at my local animal control shelter. There's a horse outside and a Shetland pony standing outside that they rescued. But we need them for that. But the problem I do have with animal control is that they want to remove animals from a home where they are being cared for properly because they have too many animals. Well, I feel like if those animals are getting proper treatment and care, who cares how many animals that person has? Thank God they adopted all those animals. You know, that's a few less animals that animal control is going to have to euthanize.
Oh, I agree.
So, to me, there's a good and bad side to them. And I did want to read some things that PETA had done, because PETA was founded in 1980. So, it's 2007 now. What's that? 27 years. They have done some great things for the animal community. In 1981, PETA's undercover investigation of a Maryland laboratory results in the first ever conviction of an animal experimenter on charges of animal abuse and the first ever suspension of federal research funds on the grounds of cruelty.
Cover 1982. Let's see. PETA files the first ever lawsuit to become the guardian of animals used in experiments.
1983. PETA closes a Department of Defense wound lab in which the military planned to fire high-velocity missiles into dogs, goats, and other animals. What in the world? PETA achieves the first-ever permanent ban of the shooting of dogs and cats in wound labs.
And let us say that this is coming off of PETA's website.
Yes.
I would be curious to know the other side of all this, if there is any, if you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Came from PETA.org. 1984, PETA closes down a Texas slaughterhouse operation where 30,000 horses were trucked in annually from all over the United States and left to starve in frozen fields without shelter. And you know what? Let me just say, here's my other thing with them. Okay, if they want to do good, and I have been exposed to just about, it feels like, every avenue in the whole wide world where the horses are concerned, go to an auction. You want to see something gross? Go to a dumpy little auction. Now, I've bought some fantastic horses from these auctions, and they are all over the country. The dumpy little auctions, and I'm not going to name names, but they are very easy to find. You usually find numerous starved horses. They are treated like dirt. It's awful. But nobody governs this. Nobody takes care of these animals. Those are the ones that I usually end up saying, come on, come home with me, I'll fatten you up. I have bought starvation cases at the auction before that I spent a lot of money on to get fattened back up, that were old broodmares that were considered worthless because they couldn't be ridden. They were too old to have babies, and no one wanted them, and they were just about starved to death. I bought them, I fed them for 2 years, and I gave them away because I found a good home for them. And, you know, if you want to pick on something in the horse industry, find these backyard people who, and I'm not attacking backyard people. I was a backyard person for many years, but I fed my animals. You know, find these people who aren't taking care of their animals, the ones that are starving them or abusing them. And pick on those guys. Don't pick these thoroughbreds that are living in multi-million-dollar barns that have the best veterinary care. And I wish I had a full-time doctor myself that was there every time I sneezed, you know.
Yeah.
Those aren't the ones that need the help. you know, it's so frustrating. In fact, once again, I won't name names. There was someone recently, locally, who about 4 years ago, every horse in their pasture was just, oh, it was disgusting. They were just starved. Department of Agriculture threatened to take the horses. They all of a sudden saw the light, and the horses had a round bale of hay and got blankets and all looked well. The Department of Agriculture let it slide. Well, then this past summer, you remember when we were having 100-degree days in July and August?
Yeah.
They forgot to water their horses.
Ugh.
And guess what? One of them laid down and literally died of thirst. Can you imagine?
How do you forget to water your horses?
So, point of the story was the Department of Agriculture did not press charges because the guy was able to prove that the horse had received veterinary care and it could have died of something else. And I spoke with the guy who buried the horse, and he told me, he said, the water troughs at this place were a foot deep in dried up sludge. He said, do you know how long it takes for a foot worth of sludge to dry up in a water trough? He said, they hadn't had water in a long time.
God.
And it just made him sick. You know, and he's a cattle guy. He doesn't even have horses. He has cattle. But he knows enough about animals to, and of course it doesn't take a rocket scientist to know that a drink of water in July sure would be nice, you know. So I'm just saying, if an organization really wants to, and you know what? The guy still has all of his horses. Nothing's been done to him. So it will happen again. So somebody needs to jump on him, you know?
Yeah.
So it's just my little soapbox. It bothers me, you know. Animals and children suffer the most from stupid people, you know. And don't mean to offend the stupid people of the world, but it's true. I don't understand. And I mean dogs, cats, and every pet in the world. Why do you have them if you won't take care of them?
Exactly. Exactly.
And you can't tell me it's money. Okay, we've all hit hard times. Give them away. You know, do something. There is plenty of help out there if you have an animal that you don't want. And actually, I'm sitting here thinking I shouldn't have just said that because tomorrow morning about 50,000 dogs and cats will probably be dumped in my driveway.
That already happens to me.
Oh, good. Take them to Selena's house. Take them to Selena's house.
It's
so you know, and also so I can take some heat off of Tia, because if they are doing good, and I hope to goodness they are, then God bless them. It's just they need to get a little more educated on some of the stuff that they're barking about. But there are bad animal rescues out there. There's one locally that I'm convinced is making money off of claiming to rescue animals. And it disturbs me because I think it just uses animal rescue's name in vain. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I think what happens, people find out about this type of stuff, and then they're afraid to give money to the legitimate places.
You're right. Well, let me go on to 1985. PETA uncovers gross mistreatment of dogs and other animals at the City of Hope Laboratory in California. The government fines the center $11,000 and suspends more than $1 million in federal funding of the lab. PETA stops total isolation confinement of chimpanzees at a Maryland research laboratory called SEMA. PETA launches a national Save the Chimps campaign that gains the support of many international scientists, including Dr. Jane Goodall, my hero, who calls her tour of the SEMA lab the worst experience of her life.
Aren't those chimps just the cutest things you've ever seen?
I know it. I love them.
I want one. Okay. That's what I need to add to my collection. Okay. 1987, PETA launches the Compassion Campaign to alert consumers to the cruelty of cosmetics and household product testing on animals. That one thing in the horse world has been the mares that have been brought down out of Canada that were used to get women's hormones from. Have you heard of that?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's something you saw at the auctions were these, I mean, beautiful horses, tons of them, weren't halter broke, wild as a buck, just getting dumped off. And I'm telling you, some of these auctions, these horses sell for $30 and $40. And that's where the killers are coming in, because they can get them cheap and then they take them to the slaughterhouses and sell them and make money on them, which that's a whole other can of worms there. We could probably talk another hour on that, but these horses are crammed on these nasty trailers, and that's one thing I think that PETA does try to help is the whole slaughterhouse thing.
They do.
Because we don't eat horse meat in this country, in case you haven't noticed, you know. And we're shipping it, not we, they are shipping it to Europe, where horse is a delicacy.
Yuck.
Now, just so you, people don't think that I am, like I said, I'm not trying to attack PETA totally. I don't even eat red meat myself. I have a steer. He's my baby, Jack the Cow. Everybody that knows me knows Jack the Cow. I love this little sucker. We've just become pals. And since I became buddies with this little steer, I cannot eat a steak to save my life. I just feel like it's utter betrayal, you know, no pun intended. But, I have my own little weird quirks, too. It's just, I want to be educated myself. It's just before we judge others, if we're going to judge, we need to be totally educated and know what we're talking about.
I agree with you. If you want to be a vegetarian, that's fine. I have nothing against that, and I certainly understand your position. But, you know, I don't think you should judge other people for not being a vegetarian.
Right.
You know.
Hey, if you want to eat, you can eat anything you want to. I mean, it doesn't bother me. As long as the animals are being treated with a little bit of dignity on their way out of this world, I don't like to hear about, I mean, I've gotten several emails from friends about the stuff that goes on with cattle, and I can't even stand to think about it. And one thing PETA did cover on their website was about the chickens. Did you see that video?
Mm-hmm.
And that was not good. That was disturbing. But, and once again, now this is something I don't know a whole lot about, so I'm not going to really judge either way, but I can't imagine that our country would allow every chicken house in the United States to operate in that fashion. But that's how they lead you to believe.
Yeah.
You know, and I just can't. The Department of Agriculture, granted, they didn't do anything about this dude not watering his horse, but surely they do govern these places and make sure the animals are being treated fair enough, you know, I hope.
Yeah, and don't they make those visits, the Department of Agriculture, don't they make those visits unannounced?
Oh, yeah. They will. They will just swing in on you. And
So it seems to me that, you know, they've got to have some hold on what these chicken houses are doing and slaughterhouses are doing, you know.
Well, and I would imagine, I know that personally speaking, I have to remain licensed with the Georgia Department of Agriculture. I have a stable license, and what that means is that I have met all of their, you know, little rules and regulations, and that they have the right to come by here anytime they want, and they can inspect all of my animals. They can inspect my paperwork to make sure that I have the Coggins test that's required by the state of Georgia. So I'm sure that they, if they're that strict with the horse industry, you know they're on top of the cattle and chickens and, you know, stuff that we're eating.
Yes, certainly. 1988. PETA's distribution of a secret video shot at East Carolina University showing an improperly anesthetized dog subjected to painful surgery and a standard classroom exercise prompts the university to declare a moratorium on the use of live animals. That is horrible.
1989. PETA's compassion campaign persuades Avon, Mary Kay, Amway, Kenner, Mattel, Hasbro, and what's the other one, Benetton, to stop testing on animals. Sorry, I haven't heard of Benetton. Is it Benetton?
Benetton or something, yeah.
Benetton?
I've heard of them. I just don't know how to pronounce it.
Okay, sorry, folks.
Stupid country girls.
Yeah, we... I just live in a small town. Okay. Go ahead, 1990.
PETA exposes the backstage beatings of orangutans by Las Vegas entertainer Bobby Barasini, who uses these gentle endangered primates in a nightclub act. Barasini's captive-bred wildlife permit is suspended by the U.S. Department of Interior. The show closes. 1991, the Silver Springs Monkeys case receives a unanimous positive ruling from the U.S. Supreme Court. It is the first time in history that a case involving animals in laboratories has been heard by the nation's highest court.
Okay, Selena, I have a question for you.
Okay.
What are your thoughts on, okay, there was a statement somewhere on PETA's website when I was researching all this that, and I'm not quoting it exactly, but it was something along the lines of they didn't care if animal research found a cure for AIDS. Yeah, do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, man, and, okay, here's my problem with that statement.
Selena's soapbox.
Yeah. Ooh, Lordy. And you know what? I don't even have a child yet. But I could not look a mother in the face, or a father for that matter, and their child had AIDS or cancer, and tell them that the rat has as much right to live as their kid. Could you?
Oh, I'm totally with you. I mean, you know, that's also the million-dollar question with stem cell research, you know. But I have to say, looking at my adorable little 5-year-old daughter, there is nothing I wouldn't do to make sure she stayed in perfect health. And if, God forbid, my child were ever sick, you know, you could saw off my right arm if you needed it, if it would help her.
See, that's what I'm saying. You do whatever you got to do, you know. And so... boy, you know, I can see PETA's point. I don't want these animals to suffer. I don't. But what else are we supposed to do? We have to find a cure for these diseases. We have to.
Right.
And these poor parents of children that are dying of these horrible diseases, you know, I couldn't look them in the face and tell them that.
No.
You know, that rat's life is as important as their child. I can't tell them that.
Right. No, I totally agree. And that's an example of what we're trying to talk about with some of the extreme stuff that PETA does.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if that's your opinion, fine, but I don't think it's really fair to push it onto other people.
Right.
Not when a human's life is at stake.
Exactly.
And once again, you know, I'm not sure what's involved with animal research, but I imagine, I would think, that there are something that governs it. I mean, and maybe I'm wrong, you know, don't quote me on that one. But like we talked about with the Department of Agriculture, surely something oversees that the animals are humanely treated. And, you know, granted, I don't know what they do to them. And I know there's some sick stuff. I've seen pictures on the Internet. But I don't know. I couldn't look at, go to a little children's hospital and see kids that are dying of cancer and tell me you couldn't sacrifice a rat's life to save that baby.
I know.
Just my personal opinion.
I know, and that's what all this is, folks. It is our opinion, and we're not, like I said before, I'm not for or against PETA. I think they've done some wonderful things for animals, but I think they can be extreme in some of their views and campaigns and some of their tactics and the way they go about doing things.
And if we're wrong, let Selena know.
Send me an email. I'll be happy to read it. As long as there are
no need to call. Don't call Ashley. Call Selena.
As long as there are no, there's no profane language, I'll read your email on the podcast. I'll be happy to.
Right, and once again, we're not here to attack anybody's views. This is just our opinion, and you are more than welcome to have yours. I'm not here to fight with anybody. This is just my feelings after watching Larry King, which apparently was many other people's feelings. In fact, I had typed up a little blog on it that got forwarded in several emails from some of my friends, and mysteriously somebody in South Georgia sent me a petition. I'm sure had gotten that email. That's the only way they would have known how to find me on the subject, but a petition to stop horse racing in this country. And the accusations in this petition were absurd. And as I read it, I just thought, there are people out there who don't know anything about horses that would read this and think, my Lord, oh, the stuff these poor animals. But it's so false. It's not true. And, once again, I'm sure there is some abuse that goes on. I have no doubt there's always going to be mean people in the world. But for the majority, my goodness, do you know that my horses are on joint supplements that are about 40 or 50 bucks a month per horse? I don't take joint supplements. My horses get new shoes every 4 to 6 weeks that cost anywhere from about 50 bucks to 70 or 80 bucks, and that's a cheap farrier. We love our farrier because he's good to me. But still, do you get $80 shoes every 4 weeks, Selena?
No. I got shoes with holes in them.
The feed that my horses eat. I feed a grain. It's called Triple Crown Complete. It is a fantastic grain. It is $13 a bag. And a horse eats, say, a bag a week on average, but still, that's a steak dinner, $13,
Mm-hmm.
But, and my feed bills, I don't even like to think about what my feed bills are because I have about 12 or 13 horses on my farm right now. But the way I look at it is they are my babies. I want them to have the best, that I can buy them. So I get them the good stuff, and that's not counting the hay and veterinary care and everything else that comes with them. There are actually people who make their living as an equine massage therapist. People pay money for a lady to come out, or man, and massage their horse. Those
oh, yeah.
Animals, they need to be turned out in the wild. Okay, and that's another thing. PETA says, I don't know where they expect all the horses to go, once the cruel racing industry and horse show industry and whatnot is done with them. Okay, so say we just took all the horses and donkeys and animals and chunked them out in the wild, which would just be the United States of America. What would happen to them? Think about it. In fact, the government has a wild horse and wild burro roundup every year where they're trying to catch these wild animals because there's not enough food for them, and they adopt them out. So I'm just not really sure what PETA wants. You know what I mean? One thing I will say, I don't know why this pops in my head, but I remember a few years back in downtown Atlanta when they would have Freaknik. One thing that made the news were the carriage drivers that would pile 20 people on a buggy with this poor horse, and they didn't care as long as they were making the money. Now, that just burned me up. Because
mm-hmm.
One horse they showed, I don't know if you remember seeing that on the news, one horse they showed pulling a wagon, or carriage rather, was literally shaking as he was trying to walk up a hill with, I think he had 17 people on the buggy.
Oh,
carry, what, 4 or 5?
That is horrible.
And, they questioned the driver about it, and he said that's why God made a horse, was to work. And I don't know if anything ever got done about it, but it just drives me crazy. So, I do want these animals looked after. It's just, if you're going to put your resources into a certain area, make sure it goes in the right direction,
1992.
Okay.
PETA gives compelling testimony at the first ever congressional hearing on the use of animals in circuses, rodeos, films, and other types of entertainment. Well,
See that
that's one
picture?
thing you have experience with. How are the animals treated on a movie set?
Okay, let me tell you. The Humane Society, United States Humane Society, is on set. They are required by law to be on set of every movie. And I can tell you from, and so people know what we're talking about, I was the riding double, stunt double, in the Disney movie Flash in 1997 for Lucas Black. They shaved my head in the works so I would look like Lucas. So if you've ever seen that movie, that's me riding. But there was always a man standing there. I'll never forget him. Would stand there with his arms crossed. It was like he was just waiting for us to goof up. And those horses were treated fine. You know, they there was nothing. I was treated a whole lot worse than the horses were. I mean, it was rough work. There were three horses that played the one. Because for one, you didn't want to work that one. I mean, we would work 16-hour days, so you didn't want to work that one horse all day long while you're filming. So they had three different horses that played Flash, and one stunt double, who was the doofus that got to do all the dangerous stuff. Nobody looked after me, but the Humane Society was there. Right. Now, and I will say, and this is going to hurt someone's feelings, I'm sure, but I do have concern with rodeos. And I know I've just made half of the United States of America angry.
Ooh, girl.
You know, and this is, well, no, I like rodeos. I do. I really do. I love bull riding. I cheer for the bull every time. But, because, I mean, you ever watch bulls? They get rid of the cowboy, and they just look at him like, come on, buddy.
Yeah.
Bring it on again. But I just, I'm not attacking the rodeo industry, but like the calf roping and stuff, I have such a mushy heart. See the poor little calf get the rope yanked around his neck and it's yanked off his feet. And
I don't like that either.
Yeah. Now, all my friends tell me that they don't feel it, but let me throw a rope around your neck and knock you off your feet. I don't know. It's just a personal thing of mine. That's the part of I won't watch that part of rodeoing, but if you
do, they
do
feel it, too. They got to feel that. What do they mean they don't feel it?
That's just what I've been told. I'm sure, you know what, you'll get 10,000 calls from people that want to defend the rodeo crowd. That'll be next week's show.
Well, yeah, there's another invitation. Any rodeo people that want to defend your position, give me a call. Love to hear from you, because honestly, I don't know a lot about rodeos. I've never even been to one, actually. So,
see.
Yeah,
well,
I don't know a lot about them.
They're fun. They have clowns.
I watch them on TV. I've seen that, and that's the only reason I know about the calf roping and the it doesn't look like it's nice to me.
And see, now that once again, I'm not totally educated on that. I would be here. I wish somebody would call you up because I would like to hear from somebody who has experience with the behind the scenes stuff at the rodeos to tell what kind of treatment. Now, I did read on. I looked up about the bulls on the internet, and apparently, some of these bulls can sell for ridiculous amounts of money,
mm-hmm.
and they talked about how they're fed the best grain and they're fed alfalfa hay, and because they're so valuable and they want to take good care of them. And I think that bull, he's pretty tough. He probably doesn't even know that strap. He was already in a bad mood before they put that strap around his flanks. But it's the little goats and the calves I wonder about. But you know, I'm just weird. Please don't send me hate mail. I'm not trying to be difficult.
Forward it to me. It's all right, everybody.
Yep.
I'll take it.
Selena wants to hear from you.
I do. I want to hear what people have to say. You know, I really do. I'd love to hear it because, you know, like I said, I have never been to a rodeo, so I really don't know what I'm talking about there other than what I've seen on TV. So if anyone wants to let me know more about it and you've got an inside look, give me a call. All right, 1993. Go ahead.
Hold on, my computer's
closed. I'll read it.
Oh, go ahead. Okay.
Following PETA's hard-hitting campaign against General Motors' use of live pigs and ferrets in crash tests, the company gives PETA a written statement of assurance that it will never again perform animal crash tests. Today, not one car company conducts crash tests on animals. Now, see, I had no idea.
I was going to say, I want to know if that's really true. Does anybody out there know? I never heard that.
I can't imagine. Why would they pick pigs and ferrets?
That's where I'm stuck. I'm trying to picture. Do you strap a ferret in the driver's seat? how does that work? I mean, how do you compare a ferret and a pig to a human body?
That's what I'm saying. I mean, wow. Just don't know about that one, but...
Gosh, now, I'm thinking you could do a whole show on the ferrets that were killed in crash tests. Don't you think? I've never heard that. See, that's what I'd like to know. Is this stuff true?
That's what I'm saying. It must be, though. They've got it out there. I mean, wow. I mean, and how did they find this out?
I don't know.
No, I do know. Hold on. Look, this is how they found it out. Hold on. Wait. They spent, where is it? $5,576,171 on research, investigations, and rescue.
America, if you have donated to PETA, that's where your money was going.
You know what? Thank God. I mean, seriously, I'm not making light of this. If General Motors was really doing that, shame on you.
Okay, I have a question now.
Okay.
What's that picture representing that? If you go to PETA.org, click on About Us and Milestones, and you will read what we're reading.
Yes.
What's that picture?
Which one?
The one on 1993.
Oh, I wasn't. Let me get to it.
The 1993, about the pigs and the ferrets. There's a guy in a suit standing on top of a car with a bunch of cops around him. What does that have to do with the ferrets and the pigs?
Hold on. For some reason, I'm stuck on 1986. 1993. Oh, those are PETA activists in a pig suit.
Oh, okay.
In a pig suit and I don't know what that white one is. I think that's a bunny.
Okay. Well, here's a little recommendation to PETA. Just my opinion once again. I have a hunch you would go a little farther if you left your pig and ferret suit at home, okay? Can't you just talk to somebody? I mean, because you know what it does? It makes you look crazy.
That's what I'm talking about extreme. They are so extreme.
Oh, okay. On a serious note,
oh, Lord.
Why don't you share with your listeners about the PETAKILLS.com or whatever that was that you sent me that we read about the euthanized animals in the back of the vehicles?
Oh, yeah, man. Wow. There's a website out there called www.PETAKILLSANIMALS.com.
Number one, so it says, this is not my opinion, okay, don't yell at me, I'm just reading it off the internet. PETA President and Co-Founder Ingrid Newkirk has described her group's overall goal as total animal liberation. This means no milk, no meat, no zoos, no circuses, no wool, no leather, no hunting, no fishing, and no pets. Not even seeing eye dogs. PETA is also against all medical research that requires the use of animals. Number two, despite its constant moralizing about the unethical treatment of animals by restaurant owners, grocers, farmers, scientists, anglers, and countless other Americans, PETA has killed over 14,400 dogs and cats at its Norfolk, Virginia headquarters. During 2005, PETA put to death over 90% of the animals it collected from members of the public. PETA has repeatedly attacked research foundations like the March of Dimes, the Pediatric AIDS Foundation, and the American Cancer Society because they support animal-based research that might uncover cures for birth defects and life-threatening diseases. PETA President Ingrid Newkirk has said that, quote, even if animal research resulted in a cure for AIDS, we would be against it, unquote.
Mm-mm-mm.
Well, let me just tell you, my grandmother died a slow, painful death from cancer a few years back, and, like we said, if a rabbit or a rat had saved her life, I would have had to say, let's take one for the team, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people out there, I'm sure, have been touched by somebody with cancer. It is not a pretty sight.
No.
And I love animals more than I love myself. But I also think if we can use our animals to help find cures for such horrible diseases, then we need to do so. I mean, be as humane as possible. We've got to find cures for stuff somehow.
All right, here's one article that talks about the two PETA employees. Well, the trial of two PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, employees accused over animal cruelty is over, and they got a slap on the wrist for littering. For those of you not following closely, these two folks collected stray animals from shelters and veterinarians in several eastern North Carolina counties, euthanized them in the back of a van, and threw them in dumpsters behind a grocery store. The story is not so much about these individuals, but about the spotlight it shines on the hypocrisy of PETA and their operations. For an organization that supports throwing blood on women wearing fur and protesting KFC, their sense of right and wrong seems out of balance. One of the facts that emerged during the trial is that PETA euthanized nearly 41,000 companion animals from July 1998 to December 2005. Somehow that fact slips through the crack in their $7 million annual outreach and education campaign. This was all done under the euphemistically named Community Animal Project. Testimony in the trial indicates that PETA really has no intention of putting strays up for adoption. They have a large walk-in cooler to store carcasses in their headquarters and a contract with a company to dispose of them. The director of the project even stated in her testimony that they only find homes for stray pets on a few occasions. PETA doesn't rescue animals. They kill them. I think they need to find the word ethical in the dictionary. Euthanasia policy. You really have to dig deep on PETA's website to find their policy on euthanasia. They are okay with it when carried out by veterinarians or trained shelter professionals with painless intravenous injections. Notice it never says they actually do it, just that they understand the need for it. Secondly, untrained PETA employees doing it in the back of a van does not fit their criteria. The organization is complicit in their employees' action. The sodium phenobarbital used was sold to PETA and licensed for use only in its home state of Virginia. These disturbing facts may shock some, but not me. Animal rights organizations care less about the animals than attempting to intimidate the rest of the world into conforming to their ideology. If PETA is so concerned about animal cruelty, instead of spending more than $16 million a year on international grassroots campaigns and public outreach and education, why not put that money into free spay and neuter clinics and no-kill shelters? Amen. I'm with that no-kill shelter thing. But this article goes on, and this was found in the CitizenTimes.com article by Don Malicote, published February 10th, 2007. So what do you think about that, Ash?
Well, very sad.
I know. And here's the kind of money they're raking in. They're raking in a ton of money. Total revenues, $27,846,730. Out of that, they spent $9,189,837 on international grassroots campaigns, $7,133,942 in public outreach and education. Like I said before, $5,576,171 in research, investigations, and rescue. That right there is what really bothers me, is that they spend more money, almost double the money, on their international grassroots campaigns than they do on rescue.
Right.
So I'd rather see them spend $10 million on rescue and you know, maybe save, can we get like, only 80% euthanized that you take in, PETA, instead of 90? That's a high percentage.
Right.
I think PETA has done some wonderful things, but I just think they've got their priorities mixed up. But some of the good things that they do, though, is they find out about these laboratories, testing laboratories, that are treating the animals just horribly.
Right.
And they do their own investigations and get the authorities involved, you know. So
that's good.
Yeah, that's a great thing that PETA does.
don't take out the entire animal testing industry when there's, would think there are good ones out there. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's like you take the one bad one and you make them all sound awful. I know that that article I read, one drug they mentioned with horse racing, and they made it sound like it was giving them crack cocaine or something, was bute. That the horses are drugged with bute. Well, let me tell you what bute is. Bute is ibuprofen for horses. It does. There's not enough bute in the world to totally mask severe, severe pain. It may alleviate a little discomfort, maybe a little bit of arthritis, or if you're a little sore, it's just like when you pull a muscle and you take some ibuprofen for it. But if you pulled your back bad enough, as ibuprofen, you could take the whole bottle. Your back's still going to hurt if you pulled a muscle hard enough. But they blow it up to make it sound like, oh, bute. And all it is anti-inflammatory, and you're only allowed to give them, I'm not sure what the rules are with the horse racing portion of it, but with horse showing, if I can't even remember if you're, I don't give mine anything because I just don't do that unless, you know, if you're at home and they need bute because you're a little sore or whatever. But I'm thinking you are allowed to administer just a tiny bit, just enough that if they are a little sore, it may help them. But it doesn't mask the pain. And the drugs that do mask the pain, once again, once they are drug tested, if you're doing that and you get caught, you're in big trouble. But you don't mention, you know, you never hear PETA bringing that up.
Right.
And I just want people to know that, speaking for the horse industry, for the most part, I mean, I have known some bad apples in the group, but for the most part, we love our animals. I just want people to know that for the majority, the horse industry is a great industry. We love our animals. We don't make them do anything they don't want to do. You know, for example, I have a boarder here now, a customer who they had a little horse they bought for their daughter, and for the first year he was great. He did so well for her, and then just really started telling us that he didn't want to do it anymore. He would spook at a lot of stuff. He just showed a lot of unwillingness. First thing we did, we had the vet come out and do total neurological exams on him to make sure he didn't have a brain tumor or something goofy going on with him. So they spent some money on a vet bill, and we just decided that he did not want to do it anymore. And guess what? They paid board for him to stand in the pasture and do nothing but eat and sleep because that's what he wanted to do. And they went and bought their daughter a new horse. So we listened to our animals. That's a big animal. You're not going to force them to do anything. And you know what? If we're making horses race, go watch some old video of Secretariat in the Triple Crown races and how third race of the Triple Crown that he won by whatever it was, 32 lengths or something, he blew those other horses out of the water. And I don't think, if you notice, the jockey never even touched him with the whip. He did it because he could and he wanted to. So, PETA, please just do your homework before you get on national television and just smear us to bits. That's all I ask.
Because we love our animals. We love our animals. They're our babies.
Yeah.
Or mine are. Mine are my babies, and I know yours are, too. Well, let's not end on a sour note, PETA, because that's really not what we did the show to do. I want to read you a quote off of PETA's website again, and it just tells you what PETA believes. PETA believes that animals deserve the most basic rights. Consideration of their own best interests, regardless of whether they are useful to humans. Like you, they are capable of suffering and have interest in leading their own lives. Therefore, they are not ours to use for food, clothing, entertainment, or experimentation, or for any other reason. I want to thank you, Ash, for being my co-host tonight.
Well, thank you for having me. Hopefully we haven't offended everyone.
I know.
Just remember that it's just our opinions. We know you have yours, too, and we totally respect them.
And I want to thank all of you for joining both of us tonight. You've been listening to All God's Creatures Pet Podcast, great and small. We love them all.